We've shared communion together. We do it as a family, and we've done it as a family. We've got people here from various places. We've got the OM team here with us from various parts of the world. I've not met all of them properly yet, and we have some people from the wilds of Bradford. You're very welcome this morning. And where else are we from? Cornwall, right? The other end of the country. So everyone's really welcome this morning. We've shared together. We rejoiced. We've got some people from Poland. And who else? Where are you from? From?
Canada.
Canada. Wow. From all over the world this morning. You're very welcome. And we have our Norwegians here as well, Andreas and Jurgen. And they're very welcome. But we're here together. We've shared together. We rejoice together. And when Jesus died on the cross, there would have been travelers from all over coming to Jerusalem to see would have been caught up in the commotion, seen Jesus died on the cross. And on the day of Pentecost, you know, when they spoke with other tongues, there was many different nations that had come together, and it was God's promise. It was God's promise to the Gentiles that he would graft them into the tree. That he would graft them, and that we would be part of his new covenant, and we would be grafted in. So hallelujah, we share together. Now we're going to look through a few more verses. I can't remember where we got up to before. I think it was verse 36. Is my thing not working? Nope. Next one. All right. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy, they marveled. He said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understandings that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We thank God for his word. Through that, we have seen that he appeared to many people, that he appeared in the midst of them. In his resurrected body, he appeared in the middle of a room to them. Wouldn't you love to do that? Just walk through a room. Walk through a wall into another room and just appear. And you can imagine if that happened now, like if I walk through that and back out, and you'd be, oh, right. And the disciples were scared. They're thinking that they'd seen a ghost. I think if you'd walked into some rooms, you might walk back out again. But in this case, he had intended to be there, and he'd been amongst us. So he was proving that he was alive, that he's risen from the dead, that all the scriptures that were said about him, he proved to them that he was alive. And Jesus is alive. The only man to conquer death. Death could not hold him. And that he lives here today. And he lives within our hearts today. He has come and he has risen. And he said at the end of that they were to go out and they were to preach to all nations. They were to take this message of a risen Christ to all the nations. And I think I've shared with you before that we serve a risen Savior. All the other religions in the world, all their supposed prophets are dead. You know, the original Buddha died of dysentery. He's dead. Muhammad is dead. All the other religions don't serve a risen Savior, but Jesus Christ is alive. And we find it through the Scriptures. We don't follow blindly in faith. It's been written down for us. There's been people who saw Jesus and wrote about it. And they were prepared to take what they knew to the ends of the earth. And they were prepared to die for their faith in Jesus Christ, because they'd seen this man alive. They'd seen him come back to life. He is alive. He is risen. This is the God that we serve, and the God that we follow, and the God that we listen to today. And if he calls us to take it to the ends of the earth, we will also take it to the ends of the earth. Jesus is alive. And as they were preaching, in Acts 2, it says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It was not possible. Jesus did die. He did die, but it was not possible that he was held by death. And this is, Peter is quoting from the Psalms. He said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. Now this was written by David. And obviously he's not speaking about himself, because David died. His body is laid somewhere. But this is a prophecy about Jesus, that his body would not see corruption, that even though he did die, it was for 3 days, and then he rose again. So the Scriptures show the risen Christ, and the risen Christ proves the Scriptures, and vice versa. So if we look at the Word of God, we can see. And Jesus said to them, so that he could prove what the Scriptures had said. So not only do we know that there's a risen Christ, but we know that we can trust in the Word of God. The Word of God is a gift to us, that we can read it, we can know it's true, and we can put our trust in what it says, that it's a words of God revealed to us. It is inspired, and all Scripture is inspired by God. Again, he told them, before he went to heaven, he shared with them, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Again, Mark 9 says, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise on the third day. But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. So he was sharing with his disciples, but they didn't understand. So he told them, and even when he appears in their midst, they don't quite get it. I mean, they'd not seen it before. They saw Jesus hung on a cross, and then he appeared amongst them. But he did warn them, and he did tell them. And John 2 says, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said these things to them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus said. So After this, they realized they got it. It dropped in their spirit. And they realized that the scriptures were true. That all the prophecies about them from the Old Testament were true. And it filled their heart with faith. These quaking disciples who had run away when Jesus hung on the cross were now emboldened with power. And it's the same with us. As we serve a risen Savior, we need to be bold. Paul was constantly asking for prayers for boldness. Proverbs said that the righteous flee when no one pursues. The unrighteous flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So we can be bold as a lion. And in Christ, do you feel as bold as a lion? I'm glad you came, Anne. Just everybody else can go home. Just speak to Anne. Anne is as bold as a lion. Just check out your roar to the person next to you. Roar, you know. But we are as bold as a lion. Lions are kings of the jungle. The righteous, if we have been made righteous in Christ, we can be as bold as a lion. I have had such a good couple of days sharing my faith with others. Four people in particular. You know, I drive buses and I was on a double driver on Thursday and Friday, and it's an absolute doddle. You just drive for 3 hours and then you pass over, and I sit in this nice bus, Sky TV on, Wi-Fi, and get my laptop out. But one person came down and he'd said on our previous journey, I'd like to have a 6-hour Bible study with you. We're traveling down to Kent. It was a long way. And this guy, he's pretty rich. And he has his own business. He runs a professional football club, or is part of that team. And I was able to share with him, bold as a lion, knowing with full confidence that what I was saying is absolutely true, that I have no doubt in my mind. This guy has a lot of money, earthly wealth, and some power. But I know with all of my heart what I was sharing with him about the resurrection of Christ is true. And I shared with him about being born again and that you can come alive in Christ because of what Jesus did. We can be as bold as a lion if we were speaking to the King of England or the President of the United States or the lowest person in the earth's eyes, we can go boldly and say that Jesus has risen from the dead, knowing that it is true, knowing that we are born again, knowing that we have life in Christ. And I tell you, as I shared with four people in particular over the weekend, and my heart was burning within me. And I know that every single one of those that I talked to, God was speaking to their heart. I could feel it. What they do with how God was speaking to the heart is up to them. I left them with the gospel. I preached Christ to them. We can preach Christ boldly because we serve a risen Savior, and He is alive today and lives within us. Hallelujah. We can often live in our mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls and has got it wrong. But when we come back to Christ, when we remember, as we've done this morning, that He's paid for it all, we can be as bold as a lion. And that's what the disciples did. They went out and they preached. Even in spite of the threat of death almost daily, they still went out. That amazes me. Paul goes into a city, he causes a riot, he gets stoned to death, and what does he do? He doesn't run for cover, he goes on to the next city and starts his preaching again. That's what I call boldness, and that only comes when you know that your Savior is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Because Jesus is risen, it also proves that He is God. He is the only begotten Son of God. And He is God. He is God in all ways. I'm just going to move on to this these few verses. John chapter 9. Jesus heard that they had cast Him out. And when He had found Him, He said to Him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And He said, "Who is He, Lord, that I may believe in Him?" And Jesus said to Him, "You have both seen Him, and it is He who is talking to you." Therefore, He said, "Lord, I believe," and He worshipped Him. This is about when Jesus healed a blind man. And He opened his eyes physically, and He also opened his spiritual eyes. And so this man, this phrase, that "Lord, I believe," and He worshipped Him. Jesus is the only man ever to be worthy of worship. It says when He came as a baby, that the angel was rejoiced and worshipped, and the shepherds, they worshipped this little baby. And here's a blind man that recognizes his eyes are opened, that Jesus is God, and that he is worthy of worship. And if you read the book of John, all the way through the book of John, John sees something about Jesus that the disciples, the other disciples, didn't write about or see. John saw that he was God, and he picks up these phrases from Jesus that I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the door, I am the way, I am the true vine, I am the shepherd, I am the light of the world. John picks up that Jesus is saying these things about himself to prove that he is God. And that even though he died for our sins, death could not hold him, and he was raised to life. The risen Savior proves that we worship Jesus as God, that he is part of the Godhead, that he is alive today. If you read the book of John, that's what it points to. John is a different book than the other Gospels. John proves that Jesus is God. Death cannot hold God. Death cannot hold God. Death could not hold Jesus. He returned to life. But as we preach, if we ever come across those who say, no, it wasn't really, he never really rose from the dead, as the Muslims do. If you've ever debated with Muslims, they take out this main ingredient. They say Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Jesus just went up to heaven. He didn't actually die, but Jesus did die, and he did rise from the dead. But these few verses say a little bit about that. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, as we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised Christ up, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. So just looking at that, it's saying our faith is futile if we don't believe in the risen Savior. And I trust we do this morning, but it's just for if there's those who try to sow doubt in our mind, then we know that we have a risen Savior, that our faith is not futile. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But we know we have a risen Savior. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. It says in Romans about through one man sin entered the world, and through one man, Jesus Christ, all shall be made alive. So death entered the world through the sin of Adam, and death has been defeated by Jesus Christ. And in this resurrection life, that we can be saved, that we can be restored, that we can be set free, that God can heal, he can restore both physically and emotionally. He can restore our soul to its fullness. It says in the Bible that God will finish the good work that he started within us. And that's a promise. Is anybody here perfect? No? A few smiling. A few going, no, not me. A few pointing at their husband or wife. None of us are perfect. But it's a promise from the Bible that we are being made little by little more in his image. Chipping away. God is chipping away at the things that shouldn't be in him. I've used this illustration before, but there was a man who was making a sculpture of a lion out of a huge bit of marble. And at the end, everybody thought, this is awesome. It just looks so like a lion. It's perfect. And they asked him, You know, how did you do that? That's just amazing. And he said, I just chipped away everything that didn't look like a lion. And I think that that's what God is doing within us. He chips away in everything that doesn't look like Christ. Little by little, step by step, he is making us, in our resurrected life, more like him. When a bit of pride rises up, he chips it off. And sometimes he lets, you know, a little bit of lust comes up and he knocks it off. He shows us where our weaknesses are. And as we get closer to him, we realize we are not in his image and we need to knock those things off. There's a part, and God does this work within us. He is making us more like him in his life. And God does heal and he does restore us physically and emotionally. He restores us. Now, I've got a joke that I shared before, but it's about two preachers. And they were on their way home from preaching at a meeting one night. And as they were driving back in the car, it was just kind of twilight. It was a bit dark. And out into the road hops this creature. Big long legs, big ears, hops out into the road and smack. Little creatures run over dead in front of the car. And think, oh no. You know, they get out of the car and it's quite big. It's got big long ears, big feet. And they're thinking, oh, we've just killed it. And one of them gets out and he lays hands on it and prays, bring this creature back to life. And nothing happens, prays again, nothing happens. Then the other one says, yeah, you know, give me a go, I'll have a go. So he brings this little bottle of ointment out and takes a dab and puts it on the little on the creature's head and prays and up it gets and it hops off and it hops off up the hill and it turns round and goes like that and it hops off further up the hill, turns round, goes like that, hops up further up the hill, turns round, goes like that, and it's almost over the hill, just peeks over and does that, and the one guy goes to the other, oh, what on earth was that you had? And he takes out his bottle and says, hair restorer with permanent wave. Absolutely. I've got a worse one. So just after it goes over the hill, it seems to be coming back over the hill, walking backwards. And he's got a row of friends with him, and they're all walking backwards. Receding hairline. Right, that's my worst jokes out of the way. But my point was, you know, that's a complete joke, but when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and we lay hands, and the Bible says, if there's any sick among you, if you call the elders of the church and anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make them well. Because we have a resurrected and a risen Savior, we have a Savior who has, when he went back to heaven, he left us his Holy Spirit. And his power works through us. And he even said to his disciples, greater works than these will you see. And he was talking about the works that he did, raising the dead, healing the sick, that God can work within us. And the prayer of faith. Now, the Bible says that God has given each one a measure of faith. And I believe as we exercise that faith, that God will give us more and that it grows. And whatever measure of faith that God has given you, if God prompts you in your heart to go and pray for somebody, then pray for them. And they can be made well. We had a woman speak at the church years and years ago. And she was in a wheelchair. And she'd gone to a big a meeting, and there was an evangelist, and he prayed for her, and she got up out of her wheelchair, and she ran around the church, and my brother Ian was there, and she came and spoke at our church a few years later, and told us that she had 7 major illnesses that God had healed her of, but she also shared that a few days before she went to this big event, that a little lad from her Sunday school, she was a Sunday school teacher, had prayed for her, and she said he was about 5 years old, he had snot running down his nose and into his mouth. He was grubby, but he prayed with all of his heart the Sunday before, God heal my Sunday school teacher. And she felt that it was in all faith. And a few days later, she got up out of her wheelchair. And I believe that a prayer of faith, childlike faith, can heal. that we can see people restored. And we've seen in this church, we have seen people restored from cancer. We've seen people restored from illnesses. We've seen people restored emotionally. God, our resurrected Savior, is alive today. And the most important thing that He can give us is that He can save our soul. And if there's anybody here this morning who does not know if they are saved by God, this is a promise. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you confess in your heart, confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if we believe what we've read this morning, you shall be saved. You'll be saved from the wrath of God and eternal punishment into the life abundant in Jesus Christ. God wants you to be saved. And if you're not saved this morning, make a decision this morning. Come and speak to me afterwards. God is speaking to your heart. The four people that I spoke to over the weekend, God spoke to their heart. I don't know whether they're going to take it on and believe it, whether they're going to confess with your mouth, but they, if they do, they'll be saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. These four young people that are being baptized on the 3rd of May, they're going to confess with their mouth what has already happened in their heart. They're going to declare the Lord Jesus, they're going to give testimony, and they're going to be baptized. And they're going to declare their faith, what has already happened. But the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. And Jesus made a promise, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That he will say, this is my child. His sins have been paid for, and you enter into heaven. If you do not know the Lord Jesus this morning, do it by faith. If God is speaking to your heart, please don't go out. God wants you to come into His kingdom and be saved. If you don't know whether you're a Christian, make sure this morning we can pray a prayer. We can confess with our mouth. And if it's happened in your heart, then the Bible declares that you are saved. Hallelujah. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord Jesus, You have been raised from the dead, that You live within us. That our hearts burn within us because You are alive. I thank You for Your promises are yes and amen. I thank You, Lord, when You said that we can be healed, that You can heal. I thank You, Lord, that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that we are saved. And I pray for everyone this morning. Pray for anyone who is not saved, Lord, that they will respond to You. Give them the courage to stand up and be counted. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.